Good morning. I'm Linda Perry with WBAI News for Friday, April 18th, 2014. It's a nice day today, partly sunny in the mid-50s. Nice on the weekend, too, sunny in the mid-60s on Saturday and in the mid-50s for Easter Sunday. Leaders from Russia, Ukraine, the U.S., and Europe met on Thursday in Geneva. It was an attempt to find a way to reduce tensions between Ukraine and Russia. After several hours of negotiations, top diplomats agreed on some immediate steps to ease the crisis in Ukraine. It requires all sides to halt any violence, intimidation, or provocative actions. It also calls for all illegally armed groups to be disarmed. Buildings that were seized by pro-Russian separatists in Ukraine are supposed to be turned back over to authorities there. Obama says his hope is that Russia will follow through in the next several days on promises made at its meeting, that there's a prospect that diplomacy may de-escalate the situation.
My understanding, based on what I've heard, is that there was an acknowledgement within the meeting that the Ukrainian government in Kiev had gone out of its way to address a range of the concerns that may have existed in southern and eastern Ukraine. There was a promising public statement that indicated the need to disarm all irregular forces and militias and groups have been occupying buildings. There was an offer of amnesty to those who would willingly lay down their arms, evacuate those buildings, so that law and order could be restored in eastern and southern Ukraine. The Russians signed on to that statement.
Ukraine's foreign minister says the agreement reached in Geneva will be a test to see if Russia really wants to see stability in the region. Additional economic sanctions the West had prepared to impose on Russia are now on hold. That will ease the international pressure on Moscow as well as nervous European Union nations that depend on Russia for their energy. Judge Shira Shinlin, the federal judge instrumental in bringing the NYPD in compliance with the Constitution over stop and frisk, is dealing with another case now which has to do with race-based injustice. She gave new life to a lawsuit against an automaker and a technology company. The suit wants them to be held liable for apartheid abuses carried out by South Africa's government. Judge Shinlin declined to toss out a 12-year-old lawsuit brought against IBM Corporation and the Ford Motor Company. It accuses them of supporting apartheid by letting their subsidiaries sell cars and computers to the South African government. The lawsuit seeks to hold Ford and IBM responsible for race-based injustices, including murder. The U.S. Supreme Court has recently ruled on the legal reach of the statute the plaintiffs are suing under. Judge Shinlin's ruling allows plaintiffs to file an amended complaint that fits within that reach. Transit officials and the union representing an estimated 34,000 New York City subway and bus workers have reached a tentative contract deal. It includes raises, but also higher health insurance payments. Thursday's tentative pact came after Governor Andrew Cuomo's office got involved in negotiations. The last contract lapsed more than 2 years ago. The Transit Workers Union, Local 100, asked Cuomo to take part. The 5-year deal needs approval by union members and the Metropolitan Transportation Authority Board. Cuomo says it's a fair agreement. He's underscoring that it would not require fare hikes. Workers would get 2 years of retroactive raises of 1%. There would be a 2% raise going back to January and 2% raises in each of the next 2 years. Mayor Bill de Blasio says New York City is aiming to start reconstruction on 500 homes that were wrecked during Superstorm Sandy by the end of the summer. The mayor unveiled a sweeping report on Thursday that examines the city's recovery process. He says the Build It Back program has been overly complex and it created confusion among homeowners. He says the city will start providing financial relief to homeowners and engage communities in the rebuilding process. Only 9 homes are currently under construction under the federally funded program. The Alliance for Just Rebuilding, a coalition representing Sandy survivors, said they welcome the city's expansion of rebuilding initiatives at the community and local level. The coalition said government and community-based organizations must work together to address the urgent needs of low-income tenants, NYCHA residents, and undocumented immigrants who are among the most vulnerable Sandy survivors. They are still in the grips of crisis and despair. Basil Paterson, one of New York's most influential politicians, has died. His family says Paterson died at Mount Sinai Hospital Wednesday night, 11 days short of his 88th birthday. Paterson served as a state senator, deputy New York City mayor, and New York's first black secretary of state. Survivors include his son, former Governor David Paterson. Governor Andrew Cuomo says Paterson's public leadership made New York a better place. He says Basil's spirit will forever be felt in the neighborhoods of Harlem, a community he loved, fought tirelessly for, and called home. Paterson was among the influential Gang of Four that included former Mayor David Dinkins, former Manhattan Borough President Percy Sutton, and Congressman Charles Rangel. His family says Paterson was known throughout the community as a man of action who accomplished his goals. And another death, Puerto Rican salsa legend Jose Luis Chio Feliciano, a giant of the genre, died in a car crash early Thursday morning in San Juan. He was 78 years old. A native of Puerto Rico, Feliciano moved to New York City in 1952. He settled down in El Barrio as a vocalist for the Joe Cuba Sextet. He was a rare baritone among salsa singers. Mayor de Blasio said his deep voice and quick wit as an improviser made him an icon of Latin American music. His thoughts and prayers are with his family. He said he will be missed, but his spirit will live forever among us through his music. The governor of Puerto Rico declared 3 days of mourning, and throughout the island on Thursday, many motorists drove with their headlights on in tribute. And there are heavy hearts at WBAI with the passing Wednesday evening of one of WBAI's longtime hosts and investigative journalists.
You are listening to Earthwatch on the Pacifica Radio Network, originating at WBAI. I'm Robert Knight in New York. Our topic today: the NSA and a telephone surveillance bait and switch by Congress and the White House.
64-year-old Robert Knight has died. He was the anchor of the daily 5 o'clock shadow news magazine and host of the weekly freeform radio series Earthwatch. He was an international correspondent. Knight traveled to 5 continents, reporting from such hotspots as Nicaragua, where he covered the Contra War, Colombia, where he reported on the international drug complex. In Libya, he visited the home of Muammar Gaddafi. He went to North and South Korea, where he covered nuclear and reunification issues. And he went to Panama, his interviews with Manuel Noriega and coverage of the 1989 U.S. invasion earned him the prestigious George Polk Award. Robert Knight will be missed by his listeners, his family, his friends, all of us here at listener-sponsored, non-commercial WBAI. Linda Perry, WBAI News, New York.